On today's show, the boys will give a spring sports update. They'll talk the NCAA tournament and the topic of the week. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Colts Corner Podcast. We've got a great show today. I'm Douglas Latuca with Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, Mike Garafa. We've got Ryan Dixon and Constantine in studio. So a lot of stuff to cover here, and we're going to start off with Hills West Sports. Some of these teams getting off to, it's been a tough start. Let's start off with that.
Yeah, it's been a tough start. I'll start with the lacrosse team. You know, I'm on the lacrosse team, so that's definitely something that I'm comfortable talking about right now. We got off to a tough start, 0-2 to start the season. The first game of the year was against Mount Sinai. They're one of the best teams. They are the best team we'll play this entire year. They're just one of the best teams we'll go against. It was not a great showing for us either. We definitely could have played a lot better, but it's not a loss to hanger. We put it right in the rearview mirror, played a lot better against West Hampton the next game, but still weren't able to come out with a win. But then this past Tuesday, well, we put a licking on Center Riches, and they're not a good team, but it felt good to finally get a win. We were up 18-3 at half, ended up winning 20-7. Some goal scorers in that game. Bailey Gorman, 3 goals.
Gorm.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. Bailey Gorman with the hat trick. It was a great job. Mikey Leva, 3 goals. Chris Mulay, 3 goals. 9 assists also for him. Joe Flaherty, 2 goals. McCarthy, 2 goals. Ethan Robertson, 2 goals.
Brian Flatow, one massive
Brian
hit.
Brian Flatow, 0 goals.
One massive hit, though.
Yes. Definitely.
You clobbered somebody?
Yeah, I clobbered someone. Two-minute non-releasable.
That's cool.
I play defense, so I don't really get too many goals. Gerald's the only one
that
plays defense that ends up getting those goals. But, yeah, so we got a big one today. I'm going to have to leave in a few minutes, actually. I got to go warm up soon. But we're playing Islip today. They're the defending state champs, but they lost a lot of guys, and they're still a very good team, but we could definitely take them if we bring our A game today. So it's going to be a good one. Come out 4:30 right outside on the turf. Hills West versus Islip. Going to be fun.
Yeah, so the lacrosse team trying to get back to .500. Another team off to a rough start is the Hills West baseball team. 0-2 in non-league play. They have not started the League 5 season.
Should be 1-1.
There was a controversial walk-off in Game 1 against Hills East, a one-run tilt, bottom of the seventh inning, base hit Reese Henderson into left, throw to the plate, and then the umpire called him safe. Nick Gavilla was running there.
What can you
do?
So,
yeah, it just doesn't go your way in Game 1, and then Game 2, they were unable to get the win against Deer Park. Both games were away. They have not had a home game, and we do not play a home game until the 10th of this month. So that is, I believe, let's see what day that is.
That is next
Tuesday, I believe.
Next Wednesday. No.
Next Wednesday.
A week from yesterday.
Yeah. So
just did some really low-level math.
Great job.
We couldn't figure it
out. So that will be next Wednesday. So Hills West 0-2, lost to East, lost to Deer Park today. We've got John Glenn, or Elwood. That's a 4-15 start at Elwood, trying to get in the win column. Just haven't been able to get the timely hits, similar to the Yanks this year. Getting guys on base, just unable to score them. So it's just been tough there. Fielding-wise, been pretty good. You know, a couple plays that just don't go our way. We're just not getting the bounces so far. But next week, starting on Tuesday the 9th, we'll start our first League 5 series against Kings Park. That will be away on the 9th. That's the Tuesday at Kings Park. Then we're back home on Wednesday against Kings Park. And then we finish out the series at Kings Park on Friday. So that will be the first series of the year as we're looking to get ourselves back in the win column. Definitely trying to get this win today because you don't want to fall to 0-3.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Draskin, one of your better players on the team, earlier in the day today, and he said that today's game, even though it's a non-league game, it's a huge game in terms of confidence because if you get that first win, the team starts to come together and you have some momentum heading into league play.
Yeah, I mean, these wins don't count towards a league title or anything
that,
but they can come back into play when they're talking about playoff formatting, your seed and all that kind of things. And also, 0-3 is just not where you want to be, even though those don't count towards the league championship, which we were the co-champions last year, so we're trying to follow up last year with another win. So 0-3 doesn't matter if those are non-league or league. It's still a brutal start. So we're going to try and get off to a winning total going on today. So another sport we'll keep you guys up to date on are the Hills West softball team. The girls are 5-2 overall, 2-2 in League 4. Obviously, we spoke about at the beginning of the spring season, the loss of seniors, the top third of the lineup pretty much removed from this team due to the graduation of all those seniors. But they're off to a 2-2 start. They won their first two games. Then they had a tough loss to Kings Park, 3-1. Now they're on a three. They won three games against Newfield, East, and West Babylon. And then in their most recent game, they lost to Eastport South Manor 2-3, 3-2 yesterday, which was a tough loss. I was speaking to Caleb Perry about that one. Weren't able to close it out, and it's a tough loss there. But they're back on the field today against Islip at home. It's a 4 o'clock game, looking to get themselves another win and hopefully above 500. So they sit at 2-2, and then next week they'll start. They'll have a game on Monday against Harborfield at Harborfield. So that's just today's game and a little bit of the future. Hills West softball off to a decent start, a little bit better than lacrosse and baseball, but all these teams just trying to find their chemistry, trying to get it on track. And it's not always how you start; it's about how you finish.
It's all about how you finish.
Exactly.
You know, you could start at 0-3, 0-5, whatever it is. You come down end of the season, you start balling. Next thing you know, it's working out in playoffs, and that's what matters. So, that's definitely what we're telling ourselves right now. Both being on teams that have struggled to start right out of the gate, but I mean, I know we're starting to figure it out, and I think baseball is too. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And what I also realize is that the word "balling" can be used for every sport except
every
for hockey.
Sport. You can really still say it for
pucking.
Hockey,
though.
You're pucking.
We're pucking.
You're pucking.
That's really weird. I didn't even notice that. It's pretty pretty cool.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, but
ask me.
Yeah, it is. It's outstanding.
Brian was talking about when you play, it only matters how you finish. And one sport, not to cut you off your Doug, but leading to the next segment, it really does matter how you finish. And when you're playing your best ball in March, you may find yourself at the Final Four.
Or yeah, totally. And here we are. We've got games coming up.
I mean, we got two teams in here that have just been playing amazing in this tournament. You know, Michigan State and UVA, we definitely said these teams can – you circle those two teams, you're like, all right, these teams might really get in. Michigan State had to go through Duke, so it was tough there. UVA had a pretty easy path to get here. I think a lot of people thought they'd end up in the Final Four. But Auburn and Texas Tech, they're playing their best ball right now, which makes them really scary. So you're definitely right about that. Playing your best ball late in the season, definitely helping out those two teams.
Yeah, and I mean, this tournament has just been so fantastic. The level of play, the enthusiasm, the energy, literally the electricity as Brian walks out, going to the field, looking to get a win today. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck.
So,
I'm taking your chair.
I mean, just the electricity of this tournament thus far, and now the Final Four, these games will be played Saturday.
And Brian's hitting the door slam.
And there's a slam. So
thanks,
we've
Brian.
Got the two games coming up this Saturday. Just four good teams that have been playing their best basketball and just have found ways to win. Obviously, Michigan State has pretty much dominated throughout this tournament. They had a easy matchup in game one, but they found out ways to win, beating Duke last week, which was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say that Elite Eight was unreal. We talked a little bit about it on our April Fool's podcast.
Wow.
But
of the March tournament.
Yes, but that Elite Eight, it was a combined margin of 18 points in the four games. There's never been anything done like that before. I mean, all four games were incredible to watch, and I was pretty excited about that. We got a little breaking news here.
Yep.
Yanks had pitching depth. Right-handed pitcher Jake Barrett. Don't know who that is. Mike, you know who that is?
Yeah, he's I believe he actually used to play with the Astros or the I think AL West.
Whatever. Insignificant to the segment.
Very
but,
insignificant. Insignificant in general.
Right, but that Duke-Michigan State game, a great game. And you talk about teams playing their best ball like Auburn. The last time they lost, I think, was February 23rd. That's how many wins in a row. One.
Pirates. Sorry.
Two, three, correct. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 wins in a row for Auburn. So it's just a great example of a team that's definitely a lot better than their seeding right now, which is a number 5 seed. They're playing like a 2 or a 1 seed. Very talented team. They were top 10 at some point during the season. To win 12 in a row, and it can't be understated how much, if you're not a great team and you do win your conference tournament, how much it means heading into the NCAA tournament. And, Auburn's a great story.
Yeah, Auburn is a great story. Okiki
Chuma Okeke. Yeah, he had 20 in that game against UNC before he went down. But they won without him against Kentucky. Another great game there. And just basically rallying around their brother, so to say. I mean, it happens a lot in sports where a guy goes down, the team picks him up, and it's been a great journey for them.
It's a great story. If you don't know, the first half he was in the hospital, didn't feel well enough to come out to the game. Second half decided to cheer on his guys, came on the sideline, and as Ben said, they got the win against Kentucky. So those are some of the stories that you just love to see. One of those that you'll eventually see an E60 on if they can somehow win this national championship. That would be pretty incredible. Maybe a 30 for 30. You know, you never know. The ESPN's outstanding.
Dude, talk about 30 for 30, though. Virginia's getting themselves one of those. You lose last year to a 16 seed in UMBC with two losses. They had two losses the whole year.
Yep.
And they come back. They're 33-3 right now in the Final Four. I mean, they're pretty much dead in the water against Purdue last week. They were down 10 at some point during the second half. And they were down two with, 5 seconds left? And off a missed free throw. Mike, I showed you this play on Monday. It was incredible. The Virginia gets the rebound past half court, so they gotta bring it the length of the court pretty much in less than 5 seconds. Kihei Clark, the freshman, makes a great pass to
Miyamidi
Diakite. He gets the shot at the buzzer, sends it to OT, and the rest was history. But that was a great game. Shout out to Carson Edwards on Purdue, who just put on an absolutely electrifying performance. 42 points.
Yeah, I was going to say.
10 threes. You don't see that against Virginia that often.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend's going to show you two marquee matchups. Michigan State, Texas Tech, and Virginia Auburn. The Virginia-Auburn, the first game on the schedule, followed pretty much directly after by that Michigan State-Texas Tech game. And, I mean, we're in for something special this weekend. The tournament's already been spectacular. It's really been a really fun tournament to watch. Exactly what you'd expect from March Madness. That's why they call it March Madness, and that's why my tweet lives on, "Let the madness begin," because it really was.
It was madness. For sure.
This tournament.
Yep.
Maybe not as many Cinderella upset stories as we had last year with UMBC. Is that correct? UMBC?
Yeah. UMBC. There were also Loyola Chicago to the Final
Correct.
Four last year.
Correct. Is it UNBC or UMBC?
UMBC.
That's what I had it the first
you're
time.
Thinking
I was just thinking a little N was in there. I don't know what I'm thinking.
You're thinking of NBC, the sports.
Correct. Mike, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
We got gotcha. It. So not a huge Cinderella story type team. Auburn, obviously, the fifth seed getting into that Final Four. So these two games will set up a brilliant championship game, whichever two out of the four teams get in. It's going to be incredible.
Just for the record, I got a 0 out of the four Final Four teams.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Did I have Virginia? I might have had Virginia. I might have had Virginia, but that's it.
Oh, no, actually, I did. I had Virginia in the final. That was it.
No, you had Gonzaga Wofford.
No, I know, but I had Virginia in the final four.
Gonzaga Wofford.
Yeah, I had Gonzaga Wofford.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Hey, Gonzaga was a good choice.
It was a decent choice.
It's not bad.
But,
hey, there was very statistically.
My bracket's in the dumpster, I'm sure pretty much everyone's is. I think it was.
I'm sitting with 630.
It was 0.04% of the brackets on ESPN. I don't know exactly, but there were 7,000 brackets out of the 19 million created on ESPN that had the exact same Final Four as the one that's – or the exact Final Four that that's happening this weekend. So it's pretty crazy to think about that, like, infinitely small amount of people right there. Just wild. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a. It's been fun. Ben was able to whip me into the
Madness. You've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I haven't been able to watch too many games, especially now with baseball on. Obviously, it's not going to really happen, but it's a good thing to start off. I mean, the end of March, right before baseball comes, it's fun. I mean, it's a really good atmosphere, and I mean, I'm looking forward to it. If I have time, I'm sure I'm going to tune into these last few games.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to talk about it too much on this podcast about Major League Baseball, but if you want to hear our input. Whatever's going on in the major league circuit, go check out the MLB Whip Around. We have a brand new episode up today. It's up for you guys. So if you want to listen to some baseball talk, there it is. Some other sport news at the professional level. The NHL playoffs right around the corner. And the New York Islanders are in it.
We're in it for sure. 2 points up on Pittsburgh with 2 games left to go. I mean, we control our own destiny for home ice, which will be at the Nassau Coliseum. Very excited about that. 3 points back of Washington with 2 to go to win the division. I mean, that last game is going to be in Washington. Could be a big one, but if the Islanders win tonight or lose tonight and Washington wins, it really won't matter. But not sure the Isles should go all out to get that number one spot in the Metro. Not sure how important that is. I mean, I think what we should be really keeping an eye on, though, is that final spot in the Metro. I mean, right now Pittsburgh's there, but Carolina's right on their back. Columbus is right on their back. Dude, do you agree with me here? If the Islanders played Carolina instead of Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in the first round, it'd be a pretty big break.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean,
so we'll see what happens. But
there's just a huge difference there.
If the Islanders went all out for that number one spot, then that could completely shift the Metro Division in the playoffs right now. Because right now, instead of facing Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Phil Kessel, Jay Gentle, and the Penguins, they are facing Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teravainen, and Justin Falk without little help or goaltending.
Constantine, the resident hockey guy alongside Doug.
Yeah, sorry, I had turned the mic off before, and I just forgot to put it back on. That's on me. I take the fault.
But
yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? But with the Islanders sitting at 99 points, they've got two games remaining. Washington, 3 points up on them with 102. It's going to be difficult for the Islanders to catch Washington unless the Capitals fall in these last two games.
Washington they are known for that, though.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. They do have a tough game tonight. Montreal, literally right on the outside looking in that wild card spot. That's a huge game for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one team
that can come out
that can possibly jump someone in the wild card race, and that would be Montreal. And out of these three teams, Carolina, Columbus, and Montreal, I mean, they're so talented, but you'd expect the Hurricanes to get in there. But it's definitely going to be a battle between the Blue Jackets and Canadiens. And if the Jackets aren't able to get into the playoffs, what a disaster.
I mean, that
of the
would,
second half.
That would be awful.
After the trade deadline, getting Duchene, going out and getting Gazingle, going out and doing some work at the trade deadline, they're a mess in this offseason. The only reason why they went after all these pieces was to make a playoff run, and if they don't even sneak into the playoffs, let alone they're not even gonna be in the top three in the division, they're gonna have to sneak in as a wild card. It's gonna be a tough road.
Yeah, Columbus always been known as one of those teams that's gonna get out in the first round. They completely gambled by creating a friendship with the Ottawa Senators that eventually got them Matt Duchene, Ryan Dzingel, and they traded away some of their good young pieces like Anthony Duclair, former Ranger. And they really kept around Bobrovsky, hoping that they would go and do some damage in the playoffs, and that's just not looking like it's going to happen.
Yeah, interestingly enough, if you look at the Western Conference standings in the Central Division, all three teams, the Winnipeg Jets, the Predators, and the Blues, would all be in the wild card race if they were in the Eastern Conference. So if you just look at the league as a whole, last year Western Conference was super strong. Really good teams all up and down, and the East was considered weaker. And it seems like every year it switches on and off. The East gets strong, West is not as strong. But, of course, both conferences have legitimate teams that can contend for a Stanley Cup. And that's what I love about the NHL. Any one of these teams that makes the playoffs can easily go on and make a run, like LA a bunch of years ago.
When they were the 8th seed, I think they lost one game that whole entire playoff run. But you look at the West standings. I mean, Calgary with 107 points. Can't say I expected that coming into the year.
Yep.
Johnny Gaudreau, great talent over there. And just to touch on those Eastern Conference wildcard standings one last time, Carolina in that 7th spot right now, 95 points. I mean, they're one up on both Columbus and Montreal. They should be in pretty decent shape, though. They take on the Devils tonight, and then they play at Philly on Saturday. So at Philly, always tough. But you got the Devils at home, should be... I mean, don't want to say cakewalk.
Yep, I got what you're saying.
But that's a pretty winnable game right there.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets can eliminate... I'm sorry. The Colorado Avalanche can eliminate the Arizona Coyotes with a win tonight or with 1 point, because they're 4 points up on Arizona, who's fighting for that final playoff spot with Colorado.
That would be some collapse by Colorado.
Yeah, that would be two straight losses, and in Arizona, two straight wins, and then it would go up to tiebreakers, and they're not eliminated yet, so I'm assuming that Arizona would have the tiebreaker.
I mean, who knows?
It would eliminate them if they didn't have some sort of a tiebreaker advantage over Colorado. So Arizona still has a chance, but Colorado can close the deal. So the playoffs are looking very good. I mean, the NHL playoffs are, as I say it every year, one of the best playoff tournaments that there are in all of sports. It's just a great, great time for sports. And I know a lot of people aren't NHL fans, but it's a great time to get into hockey. You know, watch these series, watch the fans, watch how it goes. It's a best of seven. So these series are going down to the wire, and it should be good.
Yeah, a lot of good young players, known for stepping up in the playoffs, and a lot of last second moments happening. So anything can really happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, I believe actually the first couple rounds are best of five.
No, it's all seven.
Yeah, that's what
it's all seven.
Yeah,
throughout.
Yeah, okay, I had it right the first time. So those are all best of seven series. So those are. I mean, if you don't like hockey, I would encourage you to watch the playoffs and get into it.
It's a different animal.
Yeah, and
it's a different atmosphere.
I'm also looking for the Atlantic Division, probably the best division in the NHL right now, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Boston Bruins, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's an elite division right there. That's what we call electric. And I don't know if I'm right on this, but if Toronto wins the first round, they play the Lightning right away, and I don't think they can get far enough. That's a great second round game.
They're most likely going to play the Bruins in the first round. And yeah, you're right. They play the Lightning in the second round. But yep, you're absolutely right.
I don't think anyone wants to play Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Tampa Bay gets a championship this year. That gives the New York Rangers another first round pick. They already have 10 picks this draft. That would give them four picks in the first round this year.
Oh, if Dallas doesn't make it, or if they do,
if it's Dallas, if they make it to the
Western Conference Finals, so they got to win two series.
Yeah, so they got to win two series. And Dallas, if they re-sign Matt Zuccarello, and I believe it's the Jets if they win the Stanley Cup this year.
Wow, that would be pretty helpful, especially since Dallas doesn't even have Zuccarello. So, I mean,
Zuccarello just came back last night
From a broken arm.
Sorry about that.
So the Rangers have the potential of possibly getting four more first round picks. It would be ideally it would be the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup. It would be the Dallas Stars
re-signing Zuccarello
and the Dallas Stars winning two rounds. That would give them three first round picks. I'm not sure about the years. I believe one of them is for this year, maybe two.
I believe the Zuccarello one is for this year also, and I think the Jets one's for next year. But I could be wrong.
You better bank on the Stars re-signing Zuccarello.
Yeah, I mean, that's ideal, and I think it's actually happening. They've spoken about re-signing Zuccarello. They've spoken to each other, him, his agent, and the Stars front office. So there's a lot of things going on into the NHL offseason, but the playoffs should be a different animal, and it should be a great month or so.
Best sport on two skates.
Well, yeah.
Only sport on two skates.
Well, figure skating.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Very true.
Topic of the week, Mike. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. I've been kind of sitting around. I'm going to be honest. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
That's okay, Mike.
We're moving on to topic of the week here. I was able to muster up some questions in my Italian class yesterday. Don't tell Miss Terracina. She'll probably slaughter me. So. Topic of the week this week. Yeah. Have you ever seen a teacher in public? And if so, what's the story going behind it? I have a big story that I'll relay.
Do we have to name drop the teachers? I feel like we should keep them anonymous.
If it's like a weird thing, I mean, you can keep it anonymous. But like,
I mean, honestly, I've never really seen a teacher outside of school. I mean, I just saw Mr. Black a couple weeks ago in High School East. So that does that really count? It's not like out and about.
If you don't have anything out and about, then it's fine.
He was at the school. We just caught up. If people don't know who Mr. Black is, he was the earth science teacher in eighth grade for those who were in the earth science course in middle school.
One of the teachers who signed.
So I spoke with him, caught up a bit. So that's really it. I mean, I really haven't seen other teachers. There probably have been a few times where it's happened. I was probably younger, maybe elementary or middle school teachers. More like paras or...
Yeah. I've seen paras at the lunch before.
Because I know a lot of them because a lot of their kids go to this school or in this district or go to the nearby districts. So I know a few of those, but not really anything so crazy.
I mean, I saw one of my teachers at Costco once with my mom. Gave her a nice hello. She said hi back. Good exchange, and that was it. We went our separate ways.
Nothing really like that out there for me. I just saw one of my teachers when I was at Foot Locker a couple months ago. So
were they getting fire kicks? Or
I don't know. probably
fire cakes.
Well, she's like it was my kindergarten teacher, and she's like she's an elderly lady now. So I think she was definitely trying to cop the new NMDs or something.
No, she's probably just going for the traditional white. Those white Nikes. You know what I'm talking about.
The old person
fire.
White Nikes.
Fire.
They are very fire. Ryan, you can take Constantine's mic if you have a story.
I don't really have a story. I mean, a fifth grade teacher that I didn't have him, but he lives in my aunt's complex, my aunt's gated complex. So that's it. That's really all I have. I see him once in a while walking around when I'm at my aunt's house. I mean, I haven't really seen teachers in public that often. I mean, I don't think I have at all, but Mike.
Yeah. So I mean, I've my dad's actually close friends with Dr. Catapano's sister, which is kind of funny. I saw her at a Mets game one time, and he was there, but I didn't see him. But the real funny thing that happened at a Mets game was one day in the summer, going in going into 11th grade. I was at a game and went and sat down. And Ben, you know the story. You heard it. You may not remember, but. I sat down and I looked next to me, and it's Miss Powers and her husband.
Oh, at the Mets game?
Yeah, sitting right next to me at the Mets game.
That's incredible.
It's me, my dad, Miss Powers. I was like, wow, of all the places in the place that we choose to sit, we're sitting right next to Miss Powers. Not like there's a space. It was just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Interesting. It's a small world.
Yeah, and I remember she was talking to me a little bit about the Mets, and her husband was talking to me because, I mean, I guess she, like, told him that I knew about the Mets or something. Because he was like, yeah, I've heard about you. I was like, really? I was like, that's really
weird.
There you
go.
You're in.
So, yeah, that was a
100 next quarter?
Your story actually just sparked my brain a bit. As we're looking at the Jet jerseys, are we thinking?
Well, Ry, you didn't see this leak a couple days ago?
I want to see. I never saw it.
They look
Yeah, that's a Photoshop.
We'll see.
I'll believe him when I see him tonight when the official release happens.
I mean, they look very old eagle-ish.
I mean, but seeing
you know what I mean?
We look like the North Texas Mean Green.
But seeing Le'Veon in that green and white, that's something you got to love.
Sit down.
If you're
right?
A Jet fan. I just have a quick story. So I was on the train back from a Yankee game, and that same night there was a concert at MSG. So we're on the train looking for seats. It's packed. We finally get into a corner, and there's some two seats available. So there's these older women sitting in, I believe, a four-seater, so two there, two in front. And we sit down, and there's two women in front of us, and we're just talking, and she asks us where we go to school. And I'm like, Hills West. And she goes, do you know my husband, Dr. Catapano?
Oh, wow.
So I met Dr. Catapano's wife on the train back from a Yankee game. So that was an interesting story that I had.
Yeah, why is it that, like, whenever you're out, it feels like anytime someone asks you what school you go to, they, like, know, like, people in the school they're related. Like, that happened to me last week. I was out getting pizza, and there was a guy there. He was like, yeah, my daughter graduated from West last year. I'm like, well, I'm like, of course. It was just like, it's like, I don't know. Every single time I'm asked where I go to school, people just, like, they have a story. It's so weird. I mean, I guess we're just a really popular school. So the next topic of the week question.
How many more are we doing, by the way?
We'll give it two more because I have pretty good ones.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
The next one is any recent movies you watched? Give a nice review on it or a bad review. I actually saw the movie Arrival last week. You may not have even heard of it. It's got a Jeremy Renner and some other lady. I don't know, but it's about these aliens come to Earth, and they land and. They're from a weird planet. They don't speak our language. They speak in like symbols that they like paint. And it was such a great movie. I mean, I would recommend it to anybody. I mean, it was a very underrated movie. I never even heard of it before. I never saw any trailer, and it blew my mind. Honestly, top five movie I've ever watched.
Wow.
It was really spectacular. I watched it.
That's
this
a rookie
weekend.
Grade.
You should certainly watch it. It's really, really good.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen any new movies recently, so I'm just going to go with the movie I was watching on the TV last night after the Nets-Raptors game. Tough loss. But I turned on the Paramount Network. Great channel. A little The Hangover Part 2 was on there. Hilarious stuff. I mean, you got Bradley Cooper
in there. I never saw any of them.
Stu Helms. Alan Gaffalankis, however you say his name. Dude, you've never seen any of The Hangovers?
Nope. I haven't either.
I mean, viewer, I get on that. Viewer discretion advised. You're over 17. You can watch an R-rated movie.
Great
so,
movie.
Right. I'm
great
over 17
movie.
As well,
excellent
so.
Movie.
Hey,
no, you're too young. You have not seen it.
You're too young.
You're too
young.
You have not seen it.
One movie that I recently watched on Netflix, the Fire documentary.
Watched it too.
It was fire. So
was it straight fire?
It was straight fire. Yeah, straight fire. Very well,
like Constantine's kindergarten teacher's kicks.
Kindergarten teacher's kicks.
It was very well done. It's about the failed fire festival. I recommend it. Definitely a good watch.
Yeah, I also watched the Fire Festival documentary too. Very informative.
I
made sure to watch it before I cop tickets for the next Fire Festival.
Yeah, okay.
And
cop tickets.
All right, Ryan.
We're using that word a lot.
We'll
today.
Get Ryan.
All right. I've actually a week ago I watched The Purge for the first time. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have seen that, but
I believe that's R-rated.
What's with
too?
These R-rated movies?
Scary. Ryan.
Yo, it's not
Ben,
like
you gotta like watch your brother. At
it's
night.
Not like it's nothing like bad. It's just horror. That's why it's rated R. It's like, let's be real. But
R for real.
Yeah, R for real. Always. Real.
Next topic is I got to run to the
All
field.
All right, I'll let you go first then. Your favorite abstract ice cream flavor?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I know mine.
I'm not a huge abstract guy.
Abstract,
when it
like, for me, like an example would be like ice cream with like cookie dough chunks in it.
I like the birthday cake ice cream that's yellow.
Phenomenal.
Sometimes. You know,
from Ralph's?
Yeah. I mean, that's really legit. I like Häagen-Dazs Belgian chocolate. They have the little pieces of Belgian chocolate in there. I mean, that's just outstanding.
Unreal.
If you're talking legit ice cream. So that really is about it. I love a cookies and cream, but that's plain and pretty classic. But those two are pretty legit flavors, if you ask me.
I feel you. All right. Yeah. Doug's leaving now. We'll see you later, bud. Have fun at the game. Good luck.
Thank you guys.
Go hit some dingers.
Yep.
I mean, I gotta say, I like a good Oreo ice cream that's got, like, Oreos in it. And, you know, I mean, it adds a little crunch to it. And, I mean, Oreos are outstanding. So,
phenomenal.
Yeah, very phenomenal. Doug, don't slam the door. Thank you. We learned from Brian before that is quite the loud noise. But, yeah, so for me, Oreo ice cream and cookie dough ice cream with the little chunks, you gotta love it.
Yeah, I don't really have that much of a favorite abstract ice cream flavor. But I was actually watching something the other day, and it was, like, one of these, like, trying to fix, like, businesses, and this guy came up with some way to, like, save frozen yogurt business, and it was with a poop-flavored ice cream. Oh, so I don't know.
Grotesque.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if I'd like to try that sometime.
I would not.
But it seemed to work for his business.
Right.
I'm sure it probably sells off the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, surprisingly would.
It's probably a favorite.
All right, mine's going to have to be, Ben, you might agree with me on this one, Double Dunker.
That was my choice.
Elite ice cream. Wait, what company's about?
It's Turkey Hill. I'll give you guys a little description. It's a coffee ice cream with cookie dough, Oreo chunks, chocolate syrup. And
wow.
Am I forgetting anything? I don't know. But it's
electric.
It's unreal.
No, it really is an electric ice cream. I suggest getting it.
Yeah.
Turkey
Hill. Next time you go to the grocery store, check it out.
I've never even heard of it before, so.
Well, it used to be an establishment at the Flat Tire household, so that's where I first tried it.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah,
well, yeah, because it was passed down from the generations from your brother over there.
Now you do,
all
right?
All right.
So that'll do it for us this week. Some decent questions there, Mike. And as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Schutte, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday. And finally, thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. And I'm Ben Dixon, Doug Slatuka, left early. Brian Flattow left early. Good luck to both of them. Game days for both of them. And alongside Ryan Dixon, Constantine, Michael Garaffa. We'll see you next week.